of the fountain.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jayo Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Parivacharya Sutra Satashishi Mother's Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrind Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrind Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopina Shyamakund Sri Radha Kund Sri Giri Govardhan Ki Vrijabhumi Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Purushottam Shetra Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Ganga Maya Jamuna Maya Ki Bhakti Devi Tulasi Maharani Ki Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrind Ki Hitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती रुतमा श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 13, Text 40. The chapter is entitled, Dhritarashtra Quits Home. Karnadhara Ivapare Bhagavan Paradarshaka Athabhabase Bhagavan Narado Muni Satamaha Karnadhara Ivapare Bhagavan Paradarshaka Atha Bhabase Bhagavan Narado Muni Satamaha Karnadhara Ivapare Bhagavan Paradarshaka Atha Babase Bhagavana Narada Muni Satamaha Karnadhara Ivapare Bhagavan Paradarshaka Atha Babase Bhagavana Narado Muni Satamaha
Ladies. Karnadharaha, captain of the ship. Iva, like. Apare, in the extensive oceans. Bhagavan, representative of the Lord. Paradarshakaha, one who can give direction on the other side. Atha, does. Abhabase began to speak. Bhagavan, the godly personality. Narada, the great sage Narad. Muni Satamaha, the greatest among the devotee philosophers.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. You are like a captain of a ship in a great ocean, and you can direct us to our destination. Thus addressed the godly personality Devarshi Narad, greatest of the philosopher devotees, began to speak. Purport. There are different types of philosophers, and the greatest of all of them are those who have seen the personality of Godhead and have surrendered themselves in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Among all such pure devotees of the Lord, Devarshi Narad is the chief. And therefore he has been described herein as the greatest of all philosopher devotees. Unless one has become a sufficiently learned philosopher by hearing the Vedanta philosophy from a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot be learned philosopher devotee. I repeat, unless one has become a sufficiently learned philosopher by hearing the Vedanta philosophy from a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot be a learned philosopher devotee. One must be very faithful, learned and renounced, otherwise one cannot be a pure devotee. A pure devotee of the Lord can give us direction towards the other end of nations. Devarshi Narad used to visit the palace of Maharaj Yudhishthir because the Pandavas were all pure devotees of the Lord, and the Devarshi was always ready to give them good counsel whenever needed. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. Pancha Tattva Akmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So this chapter, which is a very important chapter, every chapter, every verse, every syllable of Bhagavatam is very important. So we cannot really separate something to be more important. Every syllable is very important. So this particular chapter is entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home. Now, if we know, we have heard Mahabharata, and we know the personality of Dhritarashtra, we know the personalities of the Pandavas, the Kauravas, we know all these personalities. One of the personalities which comes, who comes as someone who is not very inspiring, someone who is teaching us what not to do. We always learn from all types of people. From people we learn what to do, and from some people we learn what not to do. And Maharaj Dhritarashtra, even though he was the king of the practically the whole Bharatvarsha, because Hastinapur was ruling the whole Bharatvarsha. So even though he was such a powerful, great king, you do not find him mentioned as a great king. So as far as his position is concerned, he is as great as Maharaj Parikshit, of course, who was his great-great-grandson. Maharaj Parikshit, we glorify him that he was a great, powerful king. He inherited the kingdom originally from Dhritarashtra, who was obviously ruling. But Dhritarashtra Maharaj comes as a person whose character is not necessarily very inspiring for those who want to make progress in Krishna consciousness. For those who want to learn the tricks of the trade in the material world, he is a very inspiring person. He knew exactly what to do, how to really retain power and everything. But in general, for people who really want to be sadhakas, who want to make progress in Krishna consciousness, doesn't come as a great person. But then why? The whole chapter in the Paramahansa Samhita, in the greatest scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, what is so special about the quitting of Dhritarashtra Maharaj that the whole chapter is entitled on his quitting? So must be something special, isn't it? Even though as a person, his life was not so inspiring, but his quitting must be very inspiring. Otherwise, why should he be in the pages of Bhagavatam? Because Bhagavatam was not something, I mean, only the very best personalities are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Right? So the first thing you must understand, the chapter is very important. The title of this chapter is very relevant. Why a particular title has been given to a particular chapter is very relevant in the Bhagavatam. And this chapter is entitled, Dhritarashtra Quits Home. There are so many people who have quit home, but they are not glorious. But Dhritarashtra Maharaj quitting home, I mean, so many people who are NRIs, they have quit home, right? They quit India and it is not glorified as, I mean, the best they are doing is they are sending some foreign exchange to India. That's a good thing. But Dhritarashtra quits home. And what he did after that is very special. So, today also happens to be the last day of the Shraddha Paksh. Right? It is a wonderful 15 days that we all have solemnly gone through. In our prayers, in our offerings, in our oblations to our ancestors. Such a beautiful Vedic civilization we have. It is not that we just forget. It is not out of sight, out of mind. In English, we have always different phrases which are actually contradictory many times. There's one phrase which says out of sight, out of mind. Another phrase which says, separation makes the heart grow fonder. So if you see both the verses are quite contradictory. But what we believe is in the second part, that separation makes the heart grow fonder. People whom we are missing, our ancestors, our people who have contributed to our being what we are. We offer them oblations in this. Today is the last day, where we do that. Today is Sarva Pitru Shraddha. That means all the Pitrus we can offer tarpan and oblations. So, what is it the best thing that we can learn from our ancestors? Obviously, they are teaching us. They want to teach us. So many things that many of us would have learned from our parents, grandparents, and we have inherited, right? So, if you go down, maybe you can spend some days, maybe some time today to really introspect and see what we have learned from our parents, from our grandparents, from the various people that who were our adults, our elders, who have taught us so many things. But one of the things that we can definitely learn from them is no matter whoever you are, maybe many of our grandparents, maybe they were very rich people, very strong people or very, very powerful people or whatever they were, but they are Pitris now. They are no more. They are all, gone. So there is a very beautiful museum. It's actually a church but converted into a museum in Italy. It was originally a place where all the Catholic saints for hundreds of years, they would perform intense bhajan. In Christianity, they do a lot of intense bhajan. They were very, very celibate saints. And for literally for centuries, literally, they would do their bhajan in that place. And then once they would die, they would bury them below the cathedral down. So over the years, there were so many burials. So they were thinking that, you know, this very, very holy remnants of the saints in the form of their bones. Because, you know, they don't burn. They just bury. So their bones are, you know, very much there. So what do? They are, you can't just throw them into garbage. They are very worshipable. These are all great saints. So they, you know, they said what we should do. So they created a beautiful museum there for people who want, they can still go. Maybe on the internet you can see the nice photographs. So they used all these bones, the scapula, humerus, ulna, radius, and all these bones, hip bone, and they make various, like a tube light is a big, you know, this bone, I don't know what it is called, and they put a tube light there, you know. So everything, all decorations, everything is all bones. Very artistic, you know, Italians are known to be very artistic, you know, and they are really, you know, use their artistic sense to the superlative degree, and they've really decorated this place. And there are hundreds of tourists which come, and you know, you see, you know, various. There's one photograph of a skeleton, you know, was meditating like this. It's a skeleton they've made meditating, and people see them, they feel nice. Well, this is all bones. So in one sense, because it is artistic, people, there are thousands of people. Otherwise, who wants to go to a place where there are bones, right? We don't like to go there. But because it is made so artistically, there are thousands and thousands of people, you know, who visit there. But the punchline or the powerful, you know, everybody sees it, and obviously tourists, all type of tourists come, boys and girls, husbands and wives, girlfriends and boyfriends, whatever, and they're doing all sorts of things while seeing this, you know, because they are on tourists, so they are enjoying themselves while they are seeing this. And then after the whole tour is over, there is a big board. There's a big board which says, it is a statement which all the saints are making to the tourists. They're telling them a lesson. I said, what you are, we used to be, and what we are, you will be. I repeat, the saints are telling that what you are, we used to be, and what we are, you will be. And that's extremely sobering. You know, can you imagine a boyfriend, girlfriend in hand, they're looking and then look at each other, my God, we are going to be like this. So very sobering. So point is, life is a very sobering experience. Life is and should be a very sobering experience. It is not all about just fun and frolic. It is deep, it is profound, it is introspective. We have to be very calculative in life. So when you talk about Shraddha, or for that matter, Dhritarashtra quitting home, these are very profound subject matters. Because who wants to discuss about somebody quitting home? Nobody wants to quit home. But there's a statement which I heard. It was a very simple statement, but very profound. It was a lecture I was hearing of His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj. And he makes a very simple statement, but maybe I found it very profound, and maybe you all will find as well. I said, before we quit our body, we have to quit our home. Before we quit our body, we have to quit our home. Now, you know, I mean, excuse me. So, you will say, well, what do you mean? Does it mean that we all, at a particular time of life, we just quit home? It may be that way, but it is not just
that you quit your physical home. He explained further. He said, what does it mean to quit home? It means to quit the thought of comfort, the thought of pleasure. And he used the word, the Indratva, very interesting word. The Indratva of our life. What does Indratva mean? And I did search, it is actually a Sanskrit word. Indratva. Koi cheez ka indratva hona means to feel the control of something. Yeah? So that's very, very important. So, the background is, my dear friends, those who do not know the previous few verses, the battle of Kurukshetra is over. Yudhishthira Maharaj is crowned the king, the samrat, and he is ruling. All the Kauravas are dead. Dhritarashtra Maharaj is extremely attached to his throne even now. And he's still sitting on the throne, and Yudhishthira Maharaj is very, very nicely allowing him to sit on the throne. He said, please, carry on sitting. And he's feeling very nice. On the other side is his brother, Vidura. He has gone on a pilgrimage and he has met Maitreya Rishi and he has got profusely realized by his discussion with Maitreya Rishi. He himself is a great soul, of course. His realization has further been enhanced by his discussion with Maitreya Rishi. But he's feeling a strong urge of compassion in his heart. That, well, I am on my path to salvation, but what is my elder brother doing? I mean, what is he really doing? He's so sad. He came all the way back to Hastinapur. Vidura comes back. And the last 39 verses, we are on the 40th verse. The few of the verses consist of the very hard preaching, literally preaching, that is done by Vidura to Dhritarashtra. I said, what is this? You are living on the food thrown by Bhima, the person that you tried to kill not once but many, many times. How attached you are, enough is enough. Kursi chodo abhi. How long will you sit in this chair and make a fool of yourself, my dear brother? If you are becoming a laughing stock to the world, don't you realize it? He speaks very, very strong words. Sometimes, many times the preachers feel, you know, that, you know, preaching means to speak harsh words. No. Preaching is not harsh words. You know, people, you know, sometimes say, aaj lecture achha tha. Aaj bahut, oh, speaker ne bahut toda humko. It was very heavy. But that's not, I mean, it's not that we should just feel that, you know, if I'm speaking something very heavy, very, very cruel, exposing the people, then that is preaching. No, that's not preaching. But sometimes the preaching that Vidura did has to be required, but not all the time. Let's not fall into habit unless there's a real reason. And there's one thing which we learn from our Acharya is that they were very, very nice and very, very encouraging to when they spoke. But when there's a need, they were very heavy. Prabhupada, very, very encouraging. But when there's a need, he spoke very, very sharp, heavy words. So Vidura realized, as an expert preacher and a great compassionate person. See, please understand, when he's speaking these words, he's not speaking out of some superiority. Sometimes you speak these words of feeling that, you know, I am high and you guys are, what are you people? And that's how the speaker speaks, and he sort of demoralizes and demotivates people by. But Viduraji was speaking out of deep compassion. That's what is my brother doing? And the only way my brother will listen if I speak harsh words, I have to really cut. Sometimes when you have to cut very hard. He spoke his words, and Dhritarashtra, yes. Please understand, as Sankirtan Prabhu was sharing the other day, yesterday, that, you know, for a blind person, By the will of creation, by the creator, they have a much more sharp hearing sense. If you are blind, Krishna gives you much more sharper hearing sense. They can hear. So when I say hearing, it is talking about physical ears. But at this point in time, Dhritarashtra, all this while, he was actually not only blind, but he was very, very much not able to hear also. Because so many people spoke, he didn't hear. But when Vidura spoke this loud, and when I'm talking about loud, I'm not talking about a decibel loud. But I'm talking about the intensity of his compassion was so loud that it shook Dhritarashtra from his roots. He said, what am I doing? He left. Next day he left. Went, and we will read where all he went, and then you know, hearing this, his wife, the ascetic Gandhari Devi, said, what am I going to do here without my husband? She also left. So, and of course, Vidura went with Dhritarashtra, and then she also left. So when the next day in the morning, when Yudhishthir Maharaj, who is, you can imagine as a person, he's such a person of high level of integrity, high level of respect. I mean, a person, only Yudhishthir Maharaj and only him can still respect Dhritarashtra in spite after all the things that he has done. I mean, what level of what I would say is, what level of high level of broad thinking that Yudhishthir Maharaj would have. Such broadness, impossible. Sometimes you find him very stupidly broad-minded. Sometimes you feel, okay, itna broad-minded, no need. But he was so broad-minded. He said, he was just forgiving. That's why he's called, one of his name is Ajatashatru. That he was so broad-minded that there were no enemies that he had, because nobody could really be an enemy of Yudhishthir Maharaj. How can be an enemy of somebody who is always thinking of your good? So of course, this is a chance for all of us to really appreciate the profound, deep nature of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Sometimes, we fall short of appreciating him, I feel. You know, of course, Arjun is Arjun. But Yudhishthir Maharaj, we fall short of his appreciation. So he came the next day morning and he saw that the throne was empty. He said, what happened? Where is he gone? And at that point in time, Narad Muni appeared. Narad Muni bajaye veena Radhika Ramana name. So he's constantly playing his veena, the veena which was given by Krishna to him. And he comes, the transcendental spaceman. And Yudhishthir Maharaj is completely subservient and offering his respects to Narad Muni. Now, you know, this is another great personality of Yudhishthir Maharaj. That in the battle of Kurukshetra, which just got over a couple of months back maybe, Krishna was personally there with the Pandavas and his army, guiding them at every step. So somebody who has got the guidance and got the counsel of Krishna himself, Swayam Bhagavan, he could have had an attitude as well, you know, I've got access to Krishna. Why should I respect anybody else? You know, sometimes you have access to your guru, you feel that everybody else is not so important. You know, I can talk big shit to my guru. I call him and he picks up my phone and I can talk to him. Sometimes you have that. And that's why you may, it's not that you will, but you may tend to really give less respect to people who are otherwise also very, very glorious. Very, very wonderful, worshipful people. But Yudhishthir Maharaj is teaching by his example that he was so very worshipable to Devarshi Narad. Isn't it interesting, my dear friends, that here was the Pandavas who had direct access to Krishna. Krishna was sitting with them, laughing with them, talking to them, being diplomatic with them, giving them strategies, saving them for months and months. And he was so attached that he couldn't leave. Finally he said, no, I have to leave because my Dwarkavas is waiting for me. That's how attached he was with the Pandavas. So they had direct access. And that Krishna was considering Yudhishthir Maharaj as his elder brother. He was respecting him. At the same time, Yudhishthir Maharaj knew that he is Krishna himself. But he was very respectful to everybody. So, what are the things, like another thing that comes out of the personality of Yudhishthir Maharaj, or from the pages of Bhagavatam, is the character of these personalities. We must learn when you're reading this. Bhagavatam is not just you read and, but let us learn the character of these personalities which have been described, right? It's very important because it is this character which we want to imbibe in our life. Because Bhagavatam is not about just Shravanam. You Shravan or Kirtan. Another very important activity of hearing Bhagavatam is Mananam. Manan karna means to ruminate. If you understand, you know, what the cow does. She eats the grass and she sits in one place and ruminates. Similarly, what you have heard in the Bhagavatam, you gather that knowledge, then you ruminate over it. Okay, how does this apply to me? Because Bhagavatam is directly talking to you and to me individually. And the way it talks to each one of us is going to be different. Provided you allow that Bhagavatam to speak to you directly. And for that, for Bhagavatam to speak to you directly, you have to do Mananam. When you do Manan, you will learn, yes, this is what it means to be. This personality means this to me. And then each of the people who have done Mananam, when they come together, Machita Madagada Prana Bodhyantasta Parasparam Kathyantasta Mam Nityam Tushyanticha Ramanticha. When each of us have done Mananam and then we come together and devotees discuss about that Bhagavatam, what it means to me, what it means to you, and these devotees come together, that is satsang. That is where the nectar comes out. When devotees have done Mananam and they come together and they share the Mananam with each other, Machita Madagada Prana, what is happening, what is the result? Tushyanticha Ramanticha, you experience complete Tushyanticha satisfaction, Ramanticha bliss. Two things. And that's what we are all looking for, isn't it? We are looking for these two things. Satisfaction and bliss. And that's what is the result of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. But just discussing for the sake of discussing is good. When we need to mananam. So let's, for the next few minutes, understand the personality of Dhritarashtra Maharaj. What is this personality of? So he comes out as a person who is extremely attached to comfort. You all agree? What else? Anybody? Huh? Sorry? Sons. Attached to sons. Sorry? He's greedy. He's greedy. Shameless. Huh? Cunning, happy to use his seniority for his benefit. Sometimes we do that, right? Hey, I'm a senior devotee. Ah, yeah, Prabhuji. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, Dhritarashtra Maharaj comes as that, happy to use his seniority for his benefit. What else? A person who comes who is a constant struggle between the mind and the intelligence. You know, he hears it, he realizes, yeah, yeah, barabare, what we, the mind, the intelligence saying, do this, and the mind says, hey, no, and then he changes. A person is constantly changing and then giving into his mind. That's Dhritarashtra Maharaj. It is not that he doesn't know he's doing the wrong thing. Please understand. He knows it for sure. Again and again. He says, no, I should not do this. And then Putra Moha comes or somebody, or Shakuni comes or whatever, and he changes his mind. So no, very weak minded. But at the same time, he had something very nice. You know, he was fortunate. He was fortunate to be surrounded with people who really loved him. Bhagya unka wo. Fortunate, now real fortune, because there were people who loved him. Sometimes if you have like this, the way he was, and he had, suppose there was nobody who loved him, most unfortunate. What will happen? Ki hoy be gati tumar? What will happen to you? Huh? But here was a person, he was fortunate that, you know, there were people who loved him like anything. Vidura, his brother, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj. And what is the character of Yudhishthira Maharaj that comes out from this? When we see Yudhishthira Maharaj, he comes out that he had tremendous respect for his seniors. That is one of his beautiful epitome of his qualities. Always respecting his seniors. Extremely sensitive. You know, it is explained that before he wanted to do the Rajasuya Yagya. It is not that he said, okay, let me do the Rajasuya Yagya, and you know, he did it. It is explained in the Mahabharata that he went to so many people. So many sages, Krishna, what was that, Damya Rishi, and various sages, they mentioned in the Mahabharata. He said, you are sure I should do this? You are sure it is not meant for my pleasure? You are sure it is for the benefit of the world? He was constantly wanting to be sure. So very sensitive to not use anything for his personal benefit or personal gratification, but so that he can just be doing it as a servant of the humanity and mankind. That is what the chapter is entitled. You know, I mean, that's what the character of Yudhishthira Maharaj comes out. And what is mentioned here, my dear friends, so we have discussed some portion which is just already covered. What is mentioned is Narad Muni is already here, and Yudhishthira Maharaj uses a very interesting word. The word used by him is Karnadhara, captain. So many a times our journey, many a times is very wonderfully compared. You know, when you do this comparison, when there's a metaphor used, the metaphor is used, the figures of speech, when you talk about language, the figures of speech are used to make the understanding of a particular subject matter much more easier. That's why we use these various figures of speech. That's why these particular metaphors which are used so that we understand what it means. By using a metaphor, we are conveying a particular inexperienceable thing and comparing it to something which we experience and we can connect easily. You are getting my point? So that is the power of this figures of speech. That's the power of language, basically. So here it is explained that the guru is considered to be Narad Muni is addressed as Karnadhar, and he's saying that you can take us to the other side of nations. So when you take off from one side to the other side, that means what? The ocean. So we're talking about a ship. And Prabhupada, I was reading a lecture of Prabhupada in which he says that this machine, the body, is sulabha. It is extremely beautifully special, rare machine that Krishna has given them. Durlabha, what is that line? Manushya janama paya radha krishna na bhajiya janiya shunya visha khainu. He said, you have got this rare human form of life. Bhaunam janmanam ante jnanamama prapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. So obviously you're talking about a mahatma, was a human being. So you're talking about even getting this form of a human being is very rare. Why is it rare? Prabhupada uses two adjectives. He said it is sulab, very, very rare, sudurlabha, and sukalpam. Sukalpam means it is very, very well planned and very evolved machine of the Lord. Sukalpam and sudurlabham. This is what is described as our body. A body is very rare, and it is the most beautiful creation of the Lord. Most evolved. That he has made with all his energy. Of course, Krishna, when I talk about energy, I'm talking about Lord Brahma. Krishna is just beyond this creation. But the best of Krishna's creation is the human being. Sorry? Maximum qualities. So this is a ship. This is a ship which is the best ship that the Creator has created. And is also explained in our verses. We have the best ship. The words of the scriptures are beautiful, favorable winds. Obviously you have a ship, but you have to move in a way where the winds are supporting you. So the scripture, the literatures are beautiful, favorable winds. But you have favorable winds, you are the best ship. But what is it without a captain? Now, if you analyze it, and if you are swimming in a river or a pond, you can do some trial and error. You know, it's a huge pond. Suppose in a Lake Mississippi, if you those who have seen, it's like an ocean if you see. And so it is still a lake. It is a man-made lake. It is. So if you want to swim there, you know, you may not necessarily by trial and error, you might reach the destination. But by trial and error, you can never reach your destination in an ocean. Think about it. You're in the ocean, you will not know where you are. Unless until you have a compass, you have maps. For those who have been to the ship where they really operate, cockpit, it's called in the flight, I don't know what it's called for a ship, where they operate, there are huge maps and they use compasses by which they know that they have to move 24 degrees east so that they reach that. Otherwise, the ocean all looks the same, right? I mean, everything is water. How will you know that you are passing by, you know, Masjid Bandar, even if you are a few kilometers away? How do you know? Actually, there was a joke. It said, you might not know Bandar, but even if you don't have a compass in anything, you come near Bandra Khadi, you will know. Because the smell goes up. Bandra Khadi aage lagta hai, nazdeek hai kidhar. You know, even if you are Arabian Ocean, you know you are near Bandra somewhere, you know, I mean. So, I mean, this is just a joke, but the point we are trying to drive is that you may have trial and error, you try to do some trial and error, you might reach a particular point in a smaller water body, but in the ocean, you need the guru, you need an expert captain to tell you where you are, where you need to go, and guide you at every point, right? Otherwise, you are lost. That is why it is explained that we are not in a lake or a pond of the material world, we are in the ocean of the material world. The material world is compared to like an ocean. And in the ocean, you will need a captain. You have the ship by God's grace. Luckily for all of us who are sitting here and many more in the world, they have the favorable winds also in the form of scriptures telling us. Winds be up and wind jar, but where to go? The other side. You need a captain. So it is... At this point, it is important for all of us to understand that Yudhishthira Maharaj is addressing Devarshi Narad as a very expert captain. And we are talking about here the importance of not just the guru. Please understand, as far as guru is concerned, the Pandavas, the guru of Pandavas was directly Krishna. Of course, they had Daumya Rishi and they had their artillery guru. But Krishna was directly guiding them. But still they accepted Narad Muni. And he's saying that you are actually Karnadhar, you are the captain. A very interesting phenomenon. From far, when you see the Mount Everest, you just see one beautiful, huge peak. Mount Everest. But when you come closer to the mountain, of course, I have not been, but as you come closer, you see that it is not only one peak. There are many other smaller peaks around Mount Everest. It's not that one peak just going up, but many, many other mountains around. So while the guru, your guru of your life, does play a very Mount Everest type of role in your life, but let us not forget and let us not ignore the fact that that guru of Mount Everest is surrounded by many, many other peaks or mountains which are senior devotees of the Lord. The senior guides of yours who are equally, if not more important than your guru. Right? So that is the point of discussion today. Is another point we want to learn from this verse is the importance of following authorities in our life. Because it has actually become a fashion, my dear friends. It's becoming more and more a fashion. The fashion of this world, the fashion of Kali Yuga, the fashion of the modern day and age is not to follow authorities. Given a chance, nobody will want to follow authority. Yes or no? Right? We love to break rules. You know, I mean, in a place, I will not name if there's a policeman, traffic police who is waving his hand like this. That means you have to stop. The students love, they go below his hand. And they laugh. But please understand, this is the innate sad nature that we all have. That we love, it could be a little silly, but this shows what is your nature. We love to not follow authority. Ask yourself, if given a chance, we do not want to follow authority. Especially in spirituality. And especially in India. Humko pata hai. Humko bolne ki zarur nahi hai. Yes, this is a typical statement. We know. Prabhu ji pata hai. Shad mein pata hai kya karne ka. Sab theek hai. Bhagwat padha hai Prabhu ji. Bhadra Purnima, I went to people. Bhagwat. I know Bhagwat. I said, kya hai Bhagwat mein? Arre, Bhagwat hai. The point is, no one wants to follow it. And this is more and more a Kali Yuga tendency not to follow authority. And it is not that we who are staying in Kali Yuga, we are sort of aloof from this mentality, because obviously it rubs on us also, right? How can we be aloof? It rubs on us. So when we spend time in Krishna consciousness, over time, if you are not careful, if you are not diligent, it may rub on us and say, well, you know, why should I follow authority? Or I'll follow some particular authority only. Right? So I think what we can really learn from Yudhishthira Maharaj's subservience to Narad Muni and addressing him as a captain, how does it relate to me? We don't have Narad Muni coming here. But who is my Narad Muni in my life? Who are the various Narad Munis in my life? Is what we can learn and how subservient we should be. So first of all, why should we follow authorities? Why should we follow authorities? So we will have a scientific discussion. Prabhupada makes a statement. If we become independent devotees, if we become independent of devotee association, this is a purport from Bhagavatam. And if we try to become independent of the devotee association and guidance, Prabhupada says, you are in a hallucinated condition. Beautiful statement. That if any devotee thinks that he can be independent of the guidance and the association of devotees, he is in a hallucinated condition. And what does hallucination mean? Dictionary meaning. An experience involving the apparent perception of something that is not. That means you will think you are a devotee, you will think you are doing well, but it is a hallucination. You are in a hallucinated condition. It is false. What is that? If you are thinking that you can survive in Krishna consciousness, at whatever stage of Krishna consciousness you may be in, without the guidance and the association of devotees. So number one. Number two. Why do we need association of devotees? In Parikshit Maharaj, we had the beautiful Bhadra Purnima. The day where Bhagavatam was spoken, and then the 1 week after Radhashtami. The 7 days, last Sunday was the last, was the last day of the 7 days of original Bhagavatam spoken. And Parikshit Maharaj was leaving his body, he was going to be bit by the Takshak snake as per the curse. Just before leaving, my dear friends, what is that three benedictions that he is asking from? This is the most glorious departure the world has ever seen, right? There cannot be a most glorious departure than the departure of Maharaj Parikshit. The most glorious, the art of living, you can learn from him. L-E-A-V-I-N-G. And of course, art of living also you can learn from him. Young man, not an old man to die, cursed, gave up everything, sat and heard Bhagavatam for 7 days, profuse nectar came out of the discussion. And what is he asking after all the profound realizations he would have gathered by hearing Bhagavatam for 7 days? Not even winking in for a second. What is he asking? For one thing, attraction to Krishna, shelter of the devotees, and friendly relationship with all beings. Three things is what Parikshit Maharaj is asking, my dear friends. Attraction to Krishna. He is not saying, oh well, Krishna, I am attracted. Boss, Krishna came when I was in the womb. Attraction to hai na mereko. He was not feeling himself to be so special. But he is asking, please, I need this benediction. Please give me. I don't have it right now. And what is it? Attraction to Krishna. Shelter of the devotees. He doesn't stop at Krishna. He said, without devotees, what is there? Krishna doesn't make sense. So shelter of the devotees is important. And the third thing, friendly relationship with all beings. What a broad mindset is this. Right? So, hallucinating condition, the prayers of Parikshit Maharaj saying shelter of devotees, guidance of devotees. So obviously we should understand that yes, I need. That is why we should take the shelter of association of devotees. Right? Now, another reason why we need guidance is we all are imperfect individuals. How many of you agree? Right? So if you agree that we all are imperfect individuals, then we need guidance. It is, I mean, let's think of personalities who seek guidance. Who are these people? And then we see what are we in compared to them. Arjun, he seek guidance. Shishyastheham sadhimam prapannam. I am your disciple, my dear Krishna. I surrender unto you now. I seek guidance. The great Gandivadhari Arjun, and who had achieved the unachievable, surrender to Krishna. Brahma and Shiva, they got bewildered. He said, no, Krishna. Brahma, Shiva. Who is Brahma and Shiva? He's not a Brahma, Shiva. These are powerful. Shiva Tattva, he is a personality by himself. Lord Brahma, our original guru, the guru of Narada, is Lord Brahma. They got bewildered. They took guidance of shelter of Krishna. Lakshman, he got his, in Ramayana, I was analyzing great souls who took guidance. Lakshman, he actually wrongly judged Kaikeyi, Bharat, Dashrath, and the whole population of Ayodhya. Ram had to correct him. My dear Lakshman, you are completely mistaken. Stop this understanding. Ram corrected him. Lakshman was directly the brother of Ram. He needed guidance. Kal Krishnadas, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. this is the most unbelievable story. Somebody who is directly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, serving him day in and day out for what? 4 years. So maybe almost 3.5 years. Walking and seeing the great pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in South India. And then he gets bewildered. And then he's been guided by the devotees, headed by Nityananda Prabhu. So we must understand, these are great personalities. You can always say, well, this was their pastime. But let us not see that as a pastime. Let us learn from them. Because the moment you say the pastime, you can discount it. Well, pastime, it doesn't apply to me. You know, a pastime. But that's not pastime. We have to learn. And we learn that we are imperfect. What are we compared to these people? We are nothing. In fact, we can't even start comparing ourselves. Even if you start comparing, you are obnoxiously proud. If you start even comparing. So the first thing is, we need guidance. Because these people need guidance. But the second question comes is, yes, I need guidance, but I need somebody who is perfect, who can guide me. There is nobody perfect. Prabhuji, koi hai nahi? How many of you face this problem? Because, you know, many times, as we describe, you know, the first week of our Krishna consciousness, the first month, when we all came to Krishna consciousness, our manasthiti, our mind was, everybody is a pure devotee, I am the most fallen, yes? We heard the first, you know, we had the first time, we said, no, I am most fallen. Everybody is a pure devotee. I'll just share with you a little gross example, but what happened to me when I first came to Krishna consciousness, the first few years. I was, you know, when you're a new devotee, you want to hear everybody speaking. And because what devotees speak is a very different lingo, right? You want to learn, kaise bolte hai log, alag alag bolte hai log. I mean, hari bol, hari. But this is not usually the lingo outside, right? So I was two devotees were speaking. And I was a silent observer. So one devotee said, Prabhu, I'm most fallen. I'm more fallen than the worm in your stool. I said, my God, this is too gross, man. This is. I'm sorry, but I told you it was a little gross. So please be ready. So I heard this. I said, this is. I was trying to figure out what it really means. Because first time you hear all these things, it's never spoken like this, right? We don't speak. But in our scriptures, this is spoken very, very nicely. That this worm in the stool. So I said, Prabhu, I'm so fallen. I'm like a worm in your stool. So other devotee had to, you know, devotees have to give back. Now you cannot just accept, oh, you are fallen. So other devotee said, you know, I am the worm in the worm of that stool. I said, why, God? Biologically, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. But the point I would have to drive is that devotees, they want to be very, very humble, very fallen. And for us, everybody is great. But when you spend more time in Krishna consciousness, little more time in Krishna consciousness, you meet people, you interact with them, you know, you realize that not everybody is a pure devotee, you know. Thoda hai. There's some problem with some people, you know, this guy is little cheating type, this guy is little, he speaks lies here and there. So, but he said, I'm most fallen. Yes, but if you're not careful, I'm sure all of you are able to and experience, because at least I'm sure many of us have gone through this. You spend more time in Krishna consciousness, you realize you get exposed to more of the other side of the person. Because everybody has two sides. You get exposed to the other side. And then by that time, you know, you are also speaking Krishna, you are doing some preaching. And people say, Prabhuji, Krishna is speaking through you. Thank you, Prabhuji. Then you realize, well, you know what? People are not pure devotees. And I'm not that bad after all, yaar, come on. I'm not that fallen. I'm quite okay. The point is, that as we are, if we don't are very cognizant about this fact, and we are not very much aware, that at some point, it is not a hypothetical situation, my dear friends, it is something which has happened. At some point of time, we may come to a conclusion that the whole world is useless. I know what Krishna is, I know what my Guru wants, and only I can do what will please Guru. You could be in the predicament, and believe me, I repeat it, it is not a hypothetical situation. It could happen, and it has happened. Right? So, many times, the point we are talking about is, you might feel that, you know, I want to follow somebody, but somebody is not perfect. Somebody has to be perfect that I follow. So Prabhupada makes a beautiful statement. I found it very, very, it's in the 4th canto, 18th chapter, verse number 5. 4:18:5, Prabhupada makes a beautiful point. Although a follower may not be liberated person, but if he follows the Supreme Liberated Personality of Godhead, his actions are naturally liberated from the contamination of the material nature. So what Prabhupada is saying is, a substitute to a liberated person is one who is strictly following the instructions. He may not be liberated, but if somebody is following the instructions, he is a perfect substitute. In this definition, everybody fits. So, the point is, an imperfect authority is perfect if he follows the perfect. That is why we should follow authorities. And not just look out for the perfect authority, because you may not find it. But if somebody is following the authority, and even if you, because you might not recognize the perfectness of the person, because you need to be something to understand the other person. Right? So that's why this is a beautiful understanding Prabhupada has given us. The imperfect authority is perfect if he is following the perfect. And that is why, you know, many times people say, well, I will only listen to my guru. Because only my guru knows me well, and I will not listen to anybody else. But this actually is not surrender to guru. This is actually an exhibition of great pride. If you feel that only you will take guidance only from Guru and not from his appointed representatives and other Siksha Gurus in your life, it is not surrender to Guru. It is actually pride. The other reason why we should surrender to the authority, there's a beautiful story which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes, very graphic story of monkeys. He was saying that there were three monkeys. One was a very old monkey and two young monkeys. They were playing in a palace. They were just playing in the palace, and there would be a huge garden, and the princes of the king were playing there, and you know, seeing the monkey, the children of the king, the prince would be very happy, and they would throw some food and they would get the food. But every now and then these young monkeys would enter into the from the back door. We enter into the kitchen of the palace, because after all, monkeys want to go into the kitchen, and you know, so they would enter the kitchen, and the cooks would just be so disgusted, they would just throw anything at them. Get out, you guys, get out, you know. So seeing that, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is telling this story. He's saying this, seeing that the old monkey called the two monkeys and said, you know what, it is time for y'all to go to the forest. Don't stay here. And the young monkey said, this old man has gone nuts. A satya gaya hai, as we say. You know? He doesn't understand. We are having a great time here. We are having fun. In the jungle, we have to protect ourselves from so many things. Here it is fun. People like us. They throw us food. Everything is fine. What is the problem? This old man is crazy. Don't we do that many times? At least I did. When my parents give me some guide, right instruction. You don't know, Papa. Stop it. We found he is an old man. And many times we do this in our life, even now. Right? That when we get good guidance from senior people, they say, we know what you're talking about. Just. So the two young monkeys were still, they ignored the guidance. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur is saying his story. Very interesting. But they said that one monkey was little intelligent, the younger one. He said, let us ask him why he's telling us to go to the forest. So they went the next day. He said, why old monkey, why are you telling us to go to the forest? Bata to sahi. I said, you know what? I said that, you know, there's one thing I forgot. I'm sorry, I forgot one thing. That near the kitchen, there was a huge stable of horses. And the king would love those horses. And he would go there, but it was near the kitchen. Okay, so here is the scenario. The monkeys are there. They're dancing around. They go to the kitchen many times. They're beaten by the cooks. There's a horse stable with a lot of grass and everything. So he was explaining to the old monkey that sometimes, you know, if you go there, and you know, if these cooks, they whatever they have in the hand, they throw at you. If they were burning wood, they throw on you. And that wood, by that wood, you know, if you go nearby, there'll be a stable. The grass will catch fire. And when they catch fire, the whole kingdom will get fire. And the horses will catch fire. And when the horses are burnt, the king will ask, what is the way to really, because I love these horses, they must be given the right treatment. What is the way to really remove the burning? I said, the best way to remove the burning is the fat of a monkey. Because fat of a monkey helps. This is what Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur said. I didn't know this. So they will catch both of you and they will kill you and use your fat to really rejuvenate and cure the horses. I said, my God, this old man, kya kya sochta hai ye? What is he thinking? Ridiculous. But Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur said, that exactly happened one day. They threw this wood, the grass caught fire, the horses were burnt, and they killed the monkeys and used the fat. So the point that we are talking about here is, why should we take guidance? Because experience of others helps us to avoid the same mistake. That's why it is said, if you try to live your life without guidance, you are in a hallucinated condition. But if you learn, somebody tells you that this, please do this because this could happen in a spiritual life. Do this. Chant Hare Krishna every day. Don't ignore your chanting out of the desire to do management, out of desire to be some dynamic leader. Don't not focus on your chanting. Chant your rounds nicely. No, Prabhu, I know what to chant. I chant my rounds. Yes, sometimes I don't chant good rounds, but Krishna will protect me because I am doing management. I am the controller. But the person knows, the adult knows, the senior knows, no, this is a big problem. You will slowly lose your taste in Krishna consciousness. And you will start making offenses. But little do we listen to the good counsel of these people, and then we suffer. Because the person has gone through it, he has experienced it, right? So this is very, very important. Many times when we are absorbed in our seva, so-called absorbed in our seva, and we are so busy, and that's what we find ourselves with. Many times we get so busy that we don't have time to listen. We should take time out to listen to people with experience. And that is why we have great opulence, my dear friend. This is a great opulence. I remember Radhanath Maharaj was sharing with me once that, you know, what is the greatest opulence that we have in this congregation? That we are the opulence of some very, very, very senior, realized devotees who can be beautiful examples for you to follow in the form of, I can just name Vrishabhanu Prabhu, Sahadev Prabhuji, Madhavananda Prabhu, and many, many more, I'm sure. But these people are very, very prominently seen. It's an opulence to have. It is not a burden, my dear friends. Let's not see the seniors as a burden of people who are interfering in my independence. they are actually great blessings. Listen to them. Learn from them. They are examples. Because as they say, they have seen many Diwalis. Humne bahut Diwali dekhi hai. The more Diwalis you have seen, the more realizations they have. It is the opulence. So please be very much cognizant of the fact that they are very, very special people to really give us guidance in our Krishna consciousness. Another reason why we should take guidance, I mean, we are talking about, again, just to drive your attention, we are talking about why should we accept authorities? If we accept authorities, then Krishna is very pleased. Very simple. Krishna is very pleased. What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tell Raghunath Das Goswami to do when he came to Jagannath Puri? He didn't say, okay, come under my shelter. Come. He said, go under the shelter of Raghunath Das Goswami. Ask him whatever questions you have, you ask him and I will answer to him. I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have avoided a lot of management headaches. You know, I said, okay, ask me directly. Yaar, chodo. Beech mein kyun? But he wanted to establish a very important principle. Who is Raghunath Das Goswami, my dear friends? He is the Prayojan Acharya of our Sampradaya. The most elevated Acharya. Sambandha Abhidhyan Prayojan. Sambandha Acharya is Sanatana Goswami. Abhidhya Acharya is Rupa Goswami. And the Prayojan Acharya is Raghunath Das Goswami. His literatures, his script, what he wrote was so high, so profound. Vilap Pushpanjali and all this. High level scriptures he has written about the separation between Radha and Krishna. But who is he under? Not under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally present. He put him under the care of Sarup Damodar Goswami. Rup Sanatana Goswami were also told when they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, you know, please go and take shelter of Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu. I'll be very pleased if you do this. Now, you know, the Lord is saying this. Now, what does the Lord Himself do? I mean, this is so sweet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every day he goes to have darshan of Lord Jagannath. Right? Every day he goes. Morning, evening. Where does he stand? Where does he stand? Anybody? The Garuda Stambha. And what is the manasthiti of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he's standing below the Garuda Stambha? He said, I am ordinary. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, is behaving as a devotee of the Lord. He said, I am very ordinary. But the Lord will definitely look at Garuda. He's a great devotee of the Lord. And when he sees a Garuda, I will get some glance of his merciful glance. I'm ordinary. So again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to get the mercy of Lord Jagannath, not directly, but to stand below Garuda, who is a great devotee of the Lord. How can we not understand the importance of taking shelter of authority in our life? And of course, very contemporary, I was just reading I was discussing with some of the senior disciples of Tamal Krishna Goswami in China. They are our good friends. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj spent a lot of time in China, established the preaching in China. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was sharing with them. Of course, we all know Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj had very, very close association of Srila Prabhupada. He was there all the time, right till the end of Prabhupada's, the last day of Prabhupada's life, his Leela. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was saying that when Prabhupada was present, I could directly ask Prabhupada and get replies to my questions because I had access to Prabhupada. But at present, Prabhupada is not present. So if I have questions, where do I go? He's not saying, well, you know what, I'm one of the senior most disciples of Prabhupada. I don't need to ask anybody. I know from Prabhupada from within is guiding me. He could have said that. But he says very clearly, even in his books, if you read Tamal Krishna Goswami's diary, TKG diary, he writes that the way I get my regular guidance, of course this was when Goswami Maharaj was present, that where I would get my guidance is, I seek shelter of my God brothers. When I ask my God brother what I should do and they reply, it is directly Prabhupada's reply to me. So this is Mount Everest and many, 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 many more hills around the Mount Everest. Prabhupada is Mount Everest, no doubt. But how can you ignore the fact that there are many, many great souls? Your Guru is Mount Everest for you. But there are many, many great souls around your Guru who you can take guidance from, take shelter of. And that will please your spiritual master. And another reason why we should take authority, I mean, it is so interesting that it is actually a natural position of a jiva soul to take guidance of authority. Natural. It is natural. To not take guidance is artificial, by the way. And it is, Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya in the 7th canto, 11th chapter of 29th verse. 7th canto, 11th chapter, 29th verse. He quotes Madhvacharya and he says, a woman should think of her husband as the Supreme Lord. Similarly, a disciple should think of the spiritual master as the Supreme Lord. A Shudra should think of the Brahman as the Supreme Lord. And a servant should think of the master as the Supreme Lord. In this way, all of them will automatically become devotees of the Lord because in due course, they are accepting that authority as a representative of the Supreme Lord. And he says, accepting authority is a natural disposition of the jiva soul. So, the default setting, you know, for those who are in computers, default setting, you might change the setting, but the default setting, the way the machine comes, the way we have been programmed by Krishna, the default setting is a natural position to accept authority. We might disable that option and say, no, I will not accept it. You can disable it. But you, it is all, by default, it is enabled. And what is enabled? To accept authority. And so we talked about how we why we should offer authorities. The second discussion is how we should accept authority. How? The why is there. But how? How should, what should you do? What should be your attitude toward accepting authority? I said follow authority in, one of the ways to follow authority in is in a non-duplicious, honest manner. Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. That we should follow, the authority should be followed at a non-duplicious, honest manner. And a very interesting line I heard. I said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patit Pavan, but he is not Kapata Pavan. If you are fallen, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will deliver you. Prabhupada will deliver you. But Kapti, if you are duplicious, if you are trying to show what you are not, you are dishonest, that Krishna will not see. Because Krishna is not Kapat Pavan. He said, get lost. I don't like duplicious people. Right? So duplicity is something which should be avoided when you are interacting with the devotees of with the authorities. Many times, you know, when we are with the authority, I'm not saying that we have to be just blatantly honest, in the sense shamefully honest. And sometimes, you know, we are shamefully honest. I mean, I have to mention this. This was a particular person I knew. He came from Hungary. Not a devotee, but sent by a devotee to that he said, please take care of him. So I made him stay. He was actually a medical person. So he wanted some internship at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So many years back, we made him stay at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. He was staying for 15 days. So it was 31st of December. So he said that, you know what, I told him that there are many programs opposite to Radha Giridhari Temple. There is a kirtan and everything. So please, whatever way you want to celebrate 31st, you can celebrate. And I met him on the 2nd of January. I said, I asked him, how was your New Year? I said, Mr. Dalal. And that's my... I said, you know, you talk about the four principles that you told me. I broke all of them yesterday. I said, oh my goodness. So, you know, sometimes you are shamelessly honest. And you feel that, you know, this is the way I am. You know what? This, because thoda sabhyata honi chahiye. There should be some gentlemanliness where you don't just be shamelessly honest, but have some sabhyata. So that's what I'm taking is, what I'm saying is that duplicity in front of your authority, not that you be shameless, but you be honest that, you know what? I'm fallen. Don't make a Paundraka-like facade. What I use, the Paundraka-like facade means a false facade about being a devotee, what you are not in front of your seniors, in front of devotees. Don't create that false facade. Yeah. Because duplicity is something which will not help you when you are with authority. You have to be very honest that, you know, I need your help. Because what happens? You need mercy. How will the mercy flows? How does the flow happen? From a higher gradient to a lower gradient. If you feel yourself you are higher, there will be no flow of mercy because you think you are high. But if you see yourself as low, then the mercy will flow as a gradient. Right? So that's very, very important. And as I said, the example is, I would repeat it again here, that if the authorities are not just our guru, spiritual master, we have the example of Jayananda Prabhu. Jayananda Prabhu was such a advanced devotee. I mean, most of us have not seen him because he left much earlier in the Krishna consciousness. 1969 he left, I think. But Jayananda Prabhu was one of the senior most devotees, one of the initial disciples of Prabhupada. He would preach to so many people. And many of the devotees would become devotees. I mean, many of the people who preached, they became devotees and they became leaders and he would work under them. This was the disposition of Jayananda Prabhu. He preached to them and those same people would become temple presidents and they would be organizers of Rath Yatra and Jayananda Prabhu would take instructions from them. Please tell me, Prabhu, what I should do. And he would not out of grudge. He would say very happily, please tell me what I should do. Because he saw not just Prabhupada, again, Prabhupada was still present on the earth planet, by the way. But he saw Prabhupada's presence in all the people who had got some vibhuti, some position or some opulence. He accepted as this is Prabhupada's representatives and I must respect them. He would, you know, we hear that Radha Damodar Vilas and few other books, that he would actually get up in the morning and all the brahmacharis who were much younger to them, they would just get up and rush for Mangala Arati. He would get up and fold their chadar, fold their sleeping bags or whatever, and do such. But why? Because he didn't see himself great, because he saw that I'm serving these people. So similarly, we have this whole scripture of Bhagavatam is been spoken by a 16-year-old person, Sukadeva Goswami. And people are surrounding him, where some millions of years old, who is this gentleman? Who is that old person? I forget. Parashar, I know that a person, Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi, his life was, I mean, he was seeing forever, it seemed, practically forever. He was there, Parashar Muni, I mean, all these people with dadis and all these grown up. But Sukadeva Goswami, 16-year-old lad, he sat, and they all listened. I mean, this example is so profound, my dear friends. This Bhagavatam is based on that principle of accepting the authority, not necessarily based on age, but based on realizations. So if somebody is guiding you and has the realizations, accept their authority. That is what the foundation principle of Bhagavatam is all about. Yeah, so this is what we can learn, the importance of why to follow authority, how to follow authority, and more importantly, what we learn, that we need the blessings of the spiritual master in our life. Yudhishthira Maharaj is calling Narad Muni as the Karnadhar. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriyo Akya Arna Koriyo Mane Asha. This should be our very life and soul, that we should really make the order of a spiritual master as our life and soul, because he is the captain. He actually knows the GPS coordinates of how to really navigate your life to the other side of the ocean and take it to the spiritual world. So let us not unnecessarily do what we have done all our previous lives. Just to be very arrogant and puffed up and think that we know something. As we say, those who know, they know not, but those who know not, they know. So better to know not. Better to know that I do not know something, and let us accept with humility the authorities. Let us accept the instruction of the spiritual master and his representatives in our lives. And then that is what exactly we learn. And then Dhritarashtra, he did accept the authority of Vidura, his younger brother after all. and we will see. Let us keep it as a suspense, or rather, let's keep it as a homework for all of you to read the next few verses. What happened? What glorious destination Dhritarashtra Maharaj achieved just because he followed the authority of Vidura? And what glorious destination the ascetic Gandhari Devi achieved? This fellow, she followed the authority of her husband. Because what was her authority? Her authority was her husband, and she followed Dhritarashtra Maharaj. Huh? So this is all about the importance of following authorities in our life. We are always subservient to authorities, and that's what our Krishna class is all about. To always remain subservient to our authorities. We have a right to discuss with them. We have a right to disagree with them. We have a right to have a vartalap, to have a dialogue with them. But we don't have a right to ignore them. So many times when people talk about authorities, I said that means we should listen to everything. Sometimes authorities may be abusing us. No, that's there, because all of us are imperfect. As we said, if the intentions are right, even if he's imperfect, he's following the perfect, it will help you. But at the same time, we are not saying that you just blindly, you have your right to really discuss and have a dialogue. We are not talking about blindly following, but discuss. But at the end of the day, your Krishna consciousness progress will depend upon how you follow authorities. And I would like to end by the fact that the blinder the faith, the more profound is the faith. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Your mic.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful explanation. My question is, as a human tendency, humans see negativity in every person. Immediately the point goes into that the person's negativity, like this person lacks this thing. So we see that in many people, in our whatever senior people, whatever. So due to that, we cannot connect with that person. There is something, nobody is perfect, like 24 karat, except Krishna. So how do we climb to that ladder?
If I showed you a white bed sheet, a white, pure white bed sheet, with two, three black spots on it, yeah? And you were able to see, you know, there's three black spots on it.
Yes, yes.
Would it be your greatness? I mean, it is obvious, right? If there's a black, white sheet to identify three, it's very easy, right?
But human nature is we immediately reject that black sheet. The entire sheet.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
What you have done is that you have rejected the whole sheet. You have ignored the profound whiteness which is there in the sheet. And you are just focusing on the black spot. And that is what is called the FM mentality, the fly mentality. And there's two types of mentalities, the B mentality and the fly mentality. The fly, if you have a fly mentality, you will get dirt. Because you will be attracted to dirt. And your life will go into dirt. What is fly mentality? Ignores the whole garden of roses and goes into a small piece of dirt sitting in one corner. Just goes right there. And what does the bee do? The bee, there's a whole, there's a whole garbage around. But there's a one, flower somehow, some there. Just ignores the whole garbage and goes to the nectar of the flower. So, bhakti means prayas. We have to learn. We cannot just say, this is the way I am. You have to learn. You have to deprogram yourself and program yourself with the positivity. You understand? So Krishna consciousness is all about being positive. It is not great to be negative. It doesn't require some greatness to be negative. It is obvious because this world is filled with negativity. Nothing great. If you identify negativity, I found this negative, nothing great. Well, you You are, that's what you are made up of, negativity. But in that negativity, you find positivity in that person. And if you seek, Jesus Christ said, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall open. Right? What do you mean? When you seek, you will find so much good in that person, and that you can easily ignore the negativity. The fly mentality does not help you, because all, and by the way, this fly mentality that you are carrying with you, as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj explains, is like a live charcoal. You are saying, you know, this guy is bad, this person is bad, this person is bad. You are carrying the live charcoal, you know, you are carrying it with you. He says about, it talks about anger and talks also about finding faults. You are carrying the charcoal, wanting to throw at somebody, but while you are holding it, it's burning yourself. Right? So you're holding the live charcoal, you're burning yourself. So it is not in any way helping you, my dear friend. You find the negativity. So learn to find the positivity. And Krishna consciousness is all about positivity. Krishna is the supreme positive. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachite Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. Krishna is perfect, Purna, supremely positive. And everything emanating from Krishna is supremely positive. That's what this verse of Vishwapandi says, the invocation verse. Right? So we all parts of Krishna. Everybody. So yes, we have negativity, as you rightly said. But you yourself answered your question. You said that it is human nature to have negativity. We are not perfect. Only Krishna is perfect. As I said, Peter Bhavosh, in one of his management books, leadership books, Peter Bhavosh is a great devotee. He's no more, of course. He took lessons from Prabhupada. He writes, you cannot tell a person to be dirty when he's under the shower. Interesting, right? The fact that he's under the shower, that means he also knows he's dirty. He's taking his shower. But while he's in the shower, he's getting rid of his dirt. You are dirty, you are dirty. Yes, I'm dirty. That's why I'm under the shower. And why should I be under the shower? The fact that you're in the material world, that means you are a dirty, obnoxious person. Because you have rejected the authority of Krishna. So we all under a shower. Right? So what's the point of telling a person to shower? He's in the shower. He has dirt. Fine. Accept it. Ignore the negativity. Focus on the positivity. And see your life will be sublime. Life will be much more happier and blissful. Make sense?
Yes, yes, Prabhu. I know we have to practice.
I know. It comes by practice, Prabhu. It is not that it is automatic. It requires abhyas. Requires practice. And it also requires to stay around with people who are with positive disposition. If you see with people who are negative oriented, that's what all our trains are filled with. They all want to find faults with every Tom, Dick and Harry. Every minister they want to find faults. Everybody they want to find faults. And that's what we hear. Isko aisa karna chahiye? Ye aisa hai? Ye aisa hai? Waisa hai? Waisa hai? Yes, there are faults. But what did Mahatma Gandhi say? Be the change that you want to see. So if you want to see positive, first it starts with you. Right? So Krishna consciousness is all about positive thinking. Because we are talking, we are relating to the supreme positive person. There cannot be any negative person. When anybody comes in touch with Krishna, he becomes supremely positive. But he's under the shower yet. Wait for some time.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Very soon he'll be clean.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Tai Gaur Premanandi.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.